Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The psalmist prayed, Lord, give me an undivided heart. See, this is so often the problem. Our hearts are all divided. If our hearts are secretly longing for wealth, power, and prestige in this world, then we are actually serving the world and really deep down full of darkness. That's a heavy thing that Jesus is saying.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Sermon on the Mount. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, in a message titled, Seeking First the Kingdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
If our hearts are secretly longing for wealth, power, and prestige in this world, then we are actually serving the world and really deep down full of darkness. That's a heavy thing that Jesus is saying. John the Apostle wrote in his first letter something that is, I think, a bit of a, it's a little bit of an exposition of what Jesus is talking about here. And this is what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He said, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and now he gives the list, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The lust of the flesh, passion, the lust of the eyes, possession, the pride of life, position. These are the things that Jesus is talking about. And he says, if you're divided in your heart, and if there is that part of you that's actually seeking after these things, the light that you think in you is actually darkness. The way to chase the darkness out is to refocus and put our attention fully upon the Lord. Then Jesus says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. So the point is, God is a master, or the pursuit of mammon is the master. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Jesus just makes it clear, you can't do it. It's impossible. You can try to do it, but Jesus is already telling us you can't do it. You will end up, if you're not fully serving the Lord, you will end up ultimately fully serving the other. John Stott, the British pastor, scholar, and statesman, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, he wrote this. Some people disagree with this saying of Jesus. They refuse to be confronted with such a stark and outright choice and see no necessity for it. They blandly assure us that it is perfectly possible to serve two masters simultaneously, or they manage it very nicely themselves, Several possible arrangements and adjustments appeal to them. Either they serve God on Sundays and mammon on weekdays, or God with their lips and mammon with their hearts, or God in appearance and mammon in reality, or God with half their being and mammon with the other half. It is this popular compromise solution that Jesus declares to be impossible. Would-be compromisers misunderstand his teaching, for they miss the picture of slave and slave owner which lies behind his words. Men can work for two employers, but no slave can be the property of two owners, for single ownership and full-time service are the essence of slavery. So anybody who divides his allegiance between God and mammon has already given it to mammon, since God can be served only with an entire and exclusive devotion. Those are pretty sobering words. But this is what Jesus is saying. And remember, this is instruction that Jesus is giving for the citizens of the kingdom. And now Jesus says in verse 25, he says, therefore. So this is what I'm telling you. And now this is how you are to respond. That's what the therefore is going to connect. You can't serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you. Now, one time, many ages ago, I remember how this passage just struck me so deeply and encouraged me so greatly. And it did so when I read the words, and just suddenly it kind of flashed on me who it was that was saying this to me. And that's what we need to think about. Because Jesus is essentially going to go on to say, don't worry about this stuff. Well, you know, sometimes people come to you and say, hey, don't worry about it. And you're like, what do you know? You know, why shouldn't I worry about it? What are you going to do to solve the problem? Well, the one who says don't worry about it is the one who made everything. The one who is in charge of everything. The one who controls the world. That's the one who's speaking to us. Therefore, I, Jesus, tell you who are deeply loved of the Father. So think of that. The eternal Son, the heir of all things, the one who holds all things together by the word of his power, is reminding us that we are those who are deeply loved of the Father. And so he then says, do not worry about your life. Listen, don't worry about your life. This is God's word to you. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat and drink. And then basically he says, you know, look at this. And for us, remember, God feeds the birds. God feeds all the animals, actually. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They don't plant seeds and then harvest and store it up in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, I was reading Psalm 104 the other morning, and in Psalm 104, it says this. It says, he makes grass grow for the cattle. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. All creatures look to him to give them their food at the proper time. Do you know, when we think about meditating on scripture, and this is one of the ways that we really grow in our understanding of God, is by taking time to think, you know, do we ever stop and take the time to even just think about the world? You know, think about the world. How does the sun rise every day and set every evening? Now, I know technically that doesn't do that. Okay, right, but we get it. That's the language we use. But how does that just happen over and over and over and over and over and over again? And how do all of these things, when you start to consider the world as it is, and this is what Psalm 104, maybe something to meditate on this week, this is what Psalm 104 is reminding us of. that all the stuff that we look around at and just oftentimes just don't think about it, or if we do think about it, we just think, oh, I guess it just works this way. What Psalm 104 is reminding us of is it works this way because God is the one who is keeping it working. God is the one who's keeping it working. And the God who is keeping it working is our Father. That's amazing. And that's what Jesus says. He says, are you not of much more value than these things? I mean, your heavenly Father, he takes care of all of this. Your Father takes care of this. Would it make any sense that he wouldn't likewise take care of you? Of course, the answer is no. And then he says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And then verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And Jesus is using language of laboring and spinning is the way clothes were made at that time. But look at the flowers. And then he says, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So Jesus is calling us to look around and learn a lesson from nature and to understand that the God who takes care of the animals, the God who clothes the fields with the beautiful flowers and the lush vegetation and all of these things, this is the God that's our Father. This is the God who is committed himself to taking care of you. What do dads do? Fathers, they provide. That's almost like a definition of a father. They're a provider. And our Heavenly Father is our provider. So do not worry. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And you know, it's not limited to that. We can take this out further. It's like, oh, but I don't even have a shelter. Well, Jesus is going to take care of, you know, what you eat and drink and your clothes, but the shelter, that's your problem. You're going to have to sort that out yourself. Everything's included in this. He's going to take care of us. You know, David said this in the Psalms, and I've read it for so many years. He said this, I've been young, and now I'm old. So I read it when I was young, and now I'm old. And I want to say what David said. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging for bread. David said, all of my life I've watched this. And what I've always seen is the faithfulness of God. I've always seen the faithfulness of God. God has taken care of his people. So he says, for the pagans, now I don't like this NIV translation here with the word pagan. The word is simply, it's Gentile is actually what the word is. Pagan sort of has a connotation that I don't think is right here. He's basically just talking about unbelievers. He's talking about people who don't have faith in Jesus, are not members of the kingdom, and are not children of God. So they run after all these things. This is the world. This is what the world does. The world lives in the pursuit of these things and in the anxiety over these things. And it's true that sometimes as Christians we do the same, right? But when we do it out of just obviously forgetting who we are and who we're related to. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what we need. Now, there's a distinction we can make between what we need and what we want. God has promised to supply our needs. Think of Paul's words to the Philippians, my God shall supply all your need through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So God has promised to meet our needs. And you know, I have found in life that oftentimes God also gives us things we want. He's generous. He's kind. He's benevolent. But he has committed himself to our needs. He knows what we need. And so this is how we are to respond. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, how much better would our lives be if we just took this to heart? We spend so much time worrying about tomorrow. Jesus says, you don't have to do that. That's really what he's saying here. He's saying, you don't have to do that. Because you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need. And so rather than storing up treasure on earth and rather than pursuing mammon and getting sucked into serving the wrong master, this is what you are to focus on. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And you know, as much as we do that, in a sense, that is the level or it is the evidence of our belief that God really is who he said he is. And we really are who he says we are. I show my faith by believing this, that I don't have to kill myself over these things, but I can put these things in God's hand and I can go about the business of the kingdom of God. I can focus on the kingdom. You see, verse 33 is really the key to life. Matthew 6:33, write it down. If you don't know it by memory, memorize it, because it's the key to life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. God will take care of it. Now, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, heaven's going to open and all tons of money are just going to fall down on your head. You go, wow, this is amazing. But what you're going to find is that since God is the Lord of all things, that he is going to work things out. He's going to bring about circumstances. He's going to do very, what's the word I'm looking for? Just creative. He's just going to do things in ways that you would never think. And he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. That's what he committed himself to doing. So again, we are to put the kingdom of God as the top of our priorities. that the kingdom of God is our number one passion, that the kingdom of God is the reason for which we are living. That's what we're living for. I think we're being reminded once again at the current moment about the tenuousness of everything here in the world. How just so quickly, and we just keep getting these reminders over and over again, right? About how quickly everything can just completely change. And how we can go from one day of forecasting out into the future, and we see this is coming, and this is happening, and we're going to do this, we're going to go here and there, we're going to buy this, we're going to sell this. James talks about that. He says, but rather you should say, if God wills, we're going to do that, because the reality is we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know, but God knows. And God's called us to focus on the one thing that is certain, the one thing that is sure, the one thing that is forever, and that's the kingdom. He's called us to focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've been talking about his righteousness all the way through this sermon. So we live out the righteousness. We live it out personally. We live it out privately. We live it out publicly. And as we do that, we know that the Lord, our Father, will take care of the needs of today and tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom. And again, let me, in case anybody is misunderstanding it, I'm not. This is not a call to go quit your job. It's not a call to empty out your bank account, go give your money away. It's not a call to any of those things, unless, of course, the Lord might say to you to do that, because, of course, he could do that if he wanted to. And in some cases, maybe he will. But in a general sense, that's not the message. The message is the heart. Get the heart in alignment. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And when your whole body is full of light, you see the path ahead of you. You see where God is taking you. You see what God is doing, and you're walking into that. You know, for some reason, there's a lot of believers today who, I know they're sleeping. It's time to get out of your pajamas and get going. Get back on the path. Get your eyes back on the kingdom. God is still at work in the world, and guess what? There's plenty of work to do. Lord, help us.
Join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource from Back to Basics.
Hi, Pastor Brian here, and I want to recommend a book by my friend Peter J. Williams. The book is called The Surprising Genius of Jesus. And on the back of the book, it says this: many believers would describe Christ as kind, loving, strong, or powerful. Few would first think of the word genius. When studied in detail, however, Jesus' teaching and interactions with others reveal a combination of profound wisdom, verbal dexterity, simplicity, and creativity. This is indeed a great book, and I think Peter is right. We don't normally think of Jesus in those terms, but we actually ought to. And so this is an excellent little book. It's a fairly easy read, and I think you will appreciate it greatly and walk away from it with a greater appreciation for the brilliance of Jesus. And so, The Surprising Genius of Jesus by Peter J. Williams.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. You can order the book The Surprising Genius of Jesus by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus by Peter J. Williams, to help you experience God's grace that has the power to transform anyone. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.